This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And it's a good day to die. To yourself. Amen? You know, as we were worshiping, you know, one of the Holy Spirit said to me, these are my people who are reporting for duty. He said there are many AWOL. Many AWOL. And they miss my commands. You know, there's something important that we don't realize, that when you and I are out and about and we're home and we do our prayer time and so forth, we come from the outer court and enter the holy place. But the holy place is truly entered here, the most holy place. It's entered when we gather together. I'm not saying you can't enter it by yourself, but it's so much glorious and wonderful. That's why we gather. We come because we report for duty, because it's training, not Bible studies. And we press through the outer courts of through the holy place into the most holy place, where there's a oneness and an exchange, where there's healing and revelation, where there's a touch from the Father, there's a touch from eternity, which changes you. It changes you. And there's that place where we must maintain that change, because we drift back and we become carnal if we don't maintain it. Then we ask God for things and He doesn't answer. And we see little trinkets of answers, like breadcrumbs. And we take that and hold on to it, and we take that, but it seems like things take such a long time. Because in the most holy place, there is no time. And when you and I enter the most holy place, it's where identity is restored. It's where you know you're His son or His daughter. It's know that nothing else can compare to His love and compassion and presence, and to know who you are. It is the most glorious place. It's home. It's a taste of home, and it's an expression of home until we get home. But not many get there. They're too busy with the ways of the world. They're too busy surviving. They're too busy keeping upkeep of their survival things. They're too busy. They're too busy maintaining their families. They're too busy pleasing man. They're too busy protecting their materialism. They will never taste the most holy place until they get home. What a terrible thing. Seek Him with all of your heart, all of your soul. All of your soul means your will, your mind, your emotions, your feelings, your words. You see, you take off yourself and put it behind you, and you seek Him with all of that you have, just like you run to the bank. People work so hard and so many hours for a piece of paper that says, it's a note. I owe you. And then they turn it over to all the bills that they've collected, the devil's placed them under. And they live this way. I'm a good person because of all the work I do. I'm a good person. God's not looking for good people. He's looking for loyal people. He's not looking for perfect people. He's looking for those who are loyal, for those who are after Him with all of their heart. That's one of the things that the Lord said about David. He's a man after my heart, He said. Are we really people after the heart of God, or are we still after somebody else's heart? Are we giving our heart away like it's just a piece of candy? Or are we truly giving our heart and exchanging our heart so He can hold it? You know, where do we really stand before God? And I think that's the vital essence. We exist because He allowed us to. We don't exist because some accident. We exist because He purposed it for me and you to come into this realm to fulfill a mission. And there'll be no satisfaction, no fulfillment until that mission is fulfilled. And you are in that divine order of fulfilling that mission. Or you just stay right in the matrix cycle. Up one day, down the next day. Up one day, down the next day. Things are good here, things are bad here. Things are this, things are that. Always caught up in you. Not staying caught up in Him. In 1 John chapter 5, is everybody okay? I got touched by my daddy this morning. Hallelujah. I wonder, is a touch from heaven, from eternity, things, you see things totally different. Everything is different. In verse 6, would you read it with me, please? 1 John chapter 5, verse 6. And this is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is what? Truth. It is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven. And I want you to begin to look at this, because God is exposing his place, his tabernacle. It says there is the Father, there is the Word, and there is the Holy Spirit. And they are one. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And if you'll put a line there, you'll see that this is the eternal tabernacle associated with the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. You don't see the Son there, because the Son is all of them one in his realm. He is also known as the Word still. And verse 7, for there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these are one. And verse 8, and there are three that bear witness in the what? Or on the earth. And it is the what? The Spirit, the water, and the blood, which is also associated with the tabernacle here on earth. When Jesus came, he brought the tabernacle. The eternal tabernacle in heaven was placed in a man to come into this realm. He is called the eternal port. He is the only way home. He is the way, truth, and life. So we see here that in this, the Spirit is what connects the eternal realm, the eternal tabernacle, okay? I'm going to share this again. It is the Spirit that connects the eternal tabernacle with the physical tabernacle, the natural realm. Is everybody with me? So when Jesus came, look at, and it says, and they are one, aren't they? So when Jesus Christ came into this realm, he brought the eternal tabernacle with him. The Father, the Word, and the Spirit. And the Word became flesh. But he was still the tabernacle. He was the eternal port. No one goes to the eternal realm except for through him. No one. There is no other way. And if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. He took a part of himself, called him his Son, and set up the tabernacle in the natural realm. In other words, here it is. That's why he left his body here, and he's the head. Because his body is what is now witnessing still through the Spirit. So through his body, because of his Word, people can get home. Verse 10. For he who believes, the word believe means to what? Follow. In the Son of God has a witness in himself. He who does not follow, God has made him a liar. That's pretty wild, isn't it? Because he has not followed or believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. They don't believe. They really don't follow. See, if you say you believe and don't follow, then you really don't believe. And this is the testimony that God has given to us, eternal life, the eternal place, eternal life, forever. And this life is in his Son, in the tabernacle. Is everybody with me? It's in the tabernacle that's been left here. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you, so you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name. Continue to be. In other words, there's that area that we must continue. Continue. That's follow. See, if you don't continue, you don't follow, do you? That's why who you serve when you die is where you go. Three witnesses, there are actually three witnesses. I want to step back a little bit, because everything of God is truth. Amen? Everything. Everything of God is truth. Everything. And it says, look at, three witnesses. So there are three witnesses of the eternal realm, and there are three witnesses of the natural realm that came. They're all the eternal tabernacle. There are three chambers, the way, the truth, and the life. There are one on earth, they are one on earth, and they are also one in heaven, but they are one joined together by the Spirit of God. There's the connection. Amen? So we see here that it is the breath of God or the Spirit that connects them. And by the truth of God, that all things are created or brought to existence. It's the breath of God that connects the eternal tabernacle and the physical tabernacle, the eternal realm and the temporary realm to make a exit. Is everybody with me? But it's the truth of God that created everything. It's the truth of God. See, it's called living truth. Living truth. There is living truth. It is alive. It is not dead. It's alive. Truth is life. It's alive. It's not just something. There's multiple levels of truth. Jesus was the manifested living truth, living God, living breath, living word, all from the eternal realm. Everything. There's four types of truth. There's past, present, future, and eternal. I'm going to say that again. There's four types of truth. There's present, there's past, there's future, and there's eternal truth. And eternal truth supersedes all truth. Supersedes it. Why? Because it is living truth. Eternal truth, again, supersedes all levels of truth. And John 16, would you go there for a moment? Everyone say, living truth. Living truth. It's alive. So truth lives. And John chapter 16. Hallelujah. John 16. Is everybody there? John 16. Is everybody there? In verse 7 it says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Jesus is speaking. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe or follow me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. And who's the ruler of this world? Satan. Verse 12. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. In other words, you cannot comprehend them. You cannot understand them. However, when he, the Spirit of what? Truth. Living truth. He is alive. Truth lives. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into what? All truth. This is eternal truth. This is truth that supersedes all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you things to come. Boy, if people would be listening to the living truth, they wouldn't go into so many traps. They wouldn't purchase things they're not supposed to. They wouldn't marry the people they're not supposed to. They wouldn't go to places they're not supposed to if they were just hearing what the Spirit is saying. It says he will guide you to all truth. You know how many times people push away the truth? I ain't hearing that. I'd rather listen to my own desire. I'm not hearing this. I got work to do. I'm not hearing this. I'm in survival. I'm a survivalist. I'm not hearing this stuff. I don't need it. And then they go to God, oh God. It says, he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine, and therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Wow. In other words, we have everything. The Lord's my shepherd. I won't lack. I won't want. Why? Because if he truly is my shepherd, I'm in such relationship with him that I don't have to fight for things. I battle for his presence, and I have everything. He supplies all of my needs according to his riches and glory. And he doesn't hold anything back for me unless it's not good for me or it's not his time, because he's got a plan. See, we become anxious because of lack of relationship. We become fearful because of lack of relationship, because there's lack of trust. How could you not trust the one that made you? How could you not trust the one that created the floors, created everything. He made everything. How could you not trust him? How could you not trust him with your life, your health? How could you not trust him? Because you don't know him. You don't trust someone you don't know. So if you say you trust him, but you don't follow him, you really don't. You don't know him then. And that's what he wants you to do, is he wants you to know him in such a way that man can't manipulate you. Does everybody got it? That man, that the world can't manipulate you. He wants you to know him in such a way that you don't care what anybody else says or thinks about you. We have this one child that's down the road from us, and he's handicapped, and he's in and out of, I mean, the police are there all the time, and he gets angry and all kinds of stuff. They just moved in a little bit. And one day, he was walking down a street one day. I shared the story about a knife. He was going to kill someone. So I walked over to him, and I prayed with him. And, my heart goes out with him, you know. And I'd like to just be with him for about a month, you know, just to see what's what and whatever God wants to do. So anyways, he comes by. He was looking for Lissy to come out and fellowship and play. And so he came by our house yesterday, and he was whatever. And he just come out of that because they locked him up again in a mental institution. And he came out, and he came by to see me. And he was asking questions. And so you know, I said, he was looking at me when we were talking. I said, you know, I want you to know something. He said, what? I said, I don't care what the neighbors say about you. I love you. I don't care what. And he laughed so hard, you know, but that was an expression of God's love and truth to him. And he was just so happy. And then he just walked away and he was laughing and he was just so joyful. Just because something that was spoken to him of love. His family's never there. He's got a dad that works all the time. And the fire department and police are always at the house because he's busting up everything. He's got a little brother that's afraid for him because he goes in rages. And he's on medication like crazy. I haven't got a chance to talk to his dad yet, but I'm hoping to. But that's all he needed was an expression of living truth, love. That's all he's looking for. Someone, because they're always just looking for attention anyways. So I want you to look here that it is a spirit of truth. Now, grab hold of this. Truth has breath. Truth has what? Breath. And breath speaks truth because it is called living truth. It's living. It's alive. Go to Hebrews 4. Living truth. You know, people are under a lot of deception. And it's keeping them from the living truth, the word truth, life. In Hebrews 4, is everybody there? Hebrew, it's 4:12. Would you read it with me? For the word of God, is that truth? Is what? It's living. It's living. And what? And powerful. And sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, I want you to understand that. As a man thinks, so he is. See, because if you don't see truth as breathing, if you don't see that Jesus is the Word and the truth, you're missing it. It is living truth. It's life. Truth is life. See, people just speak without knowing. And when you begin to see that when you speak the Word of God, it is life. It's living. But see, you won't get that unless you're hanging in the most holy place. Because that's where that life is. There's that difference. See, the chambers of the tabernacle, each one has a different language, understanding, different vision, different hearing, different sight. They're different. Everything has different purpose. Look at, if you hung out with Jesus for a little while, what do you think your life would be like? I mean, come on. But hanging out with Jesus is following him. He is the Spirit. He left his Spirit for me and you now. But everything of him is associated with life. Everything has a message. All existence has some kind of message releasing from it. A chair says chair. A wall says wall. It has a message, doesn't it? There's a meaning behind it. Okay, the wall does what? It holds the thing up. The chair is for what? To sit down? Not to throw? Hello? Everything has a message. Because everything that God allows to existence has a message. Clothes have a message. Ugly, nice, you know. There's a message behind everything. But that might be truth, right? So even you can pick up a bottle that says poison, skull and crossbones on it. It's speaking to you. It's got a message. It says, man, if you take me, you're going to die. But there's truth in death also. That there's truth that will promote death, and there's truth that will promote life. See, but when you know the difference that eternal truth holds all things and supersedes all things, you look at things differently. You just don't look at it as reading a label. You look to see what the end result is. Is it promoting eternal life? Hello? Or is it promoting eternal separation? See, this is the difference. This is how you see things according to what God sees, because we want to see through God's eyes, not our own anymore. We don't want to live according to the way we used to live, think the way we used to live. We want to live according to what he set us to live. Why? Because his most important desire for me and you is for him to express himself through you. See, he wants to see himself in you. That's what he's looking for. Jesus was called Son. Why? Because God saw himself in him. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Romans 1. Oh, did we finish the other one yet? Let's go back to Hebrews. Hebrew 12. For the word of God is what? Living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of the what? The soul, the mind, will, and emotions and imaginations. And look out. And joints and marrow, in other words, this living word, which is life and alive, can enter into your bones, and in your bones produces marrow and blood, which can change the course of a person being sick to being completely healed. Being completely healed. See, but if you don't see it that way, if you don't see that what you're speaking, of course, if you're not filled with the Spirit, you're not speaking life too much. Then you're just spitting out seeds. But if you're not filled with the Spirit, if you really haven't entered that holy place or the most holy place and stayed filled, because that's our responsibility, then the breath, the Spirit of life that releases the living Word should enter and begin to change. Because he who sows in the Spirit reaps what? Life. Because when you sow in the Spirit, you're speaking things according to the Spirit, which is living Word, and what you sow is what you reap, what you speak is what you eat. So if you begin to see it as life words, not just truth, but living truth, things will change. Does everybody get this? But I want you to know that in Romans chapter 1, the world is doing its best to disqualify, interrupt, hold back, restrain, sidetrack the living word, the living truth. They'll do everything they can because they fear it. They fear it because they know that it exposes them, scatters them, and it interferes with their plans. So you're either participating with them or you're participating with the living truth. You're either coming against the living truth and how you're living, what you're doing, what you're saying, what your priorities are, what your responsibilities are to the kingdom, or you're not, one or the other. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 18, is everybody there? Is everybody okay? It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Who what? Who what? Suppress the truth in unrighteousness. In other words, they do their best to prevent the living truth from being spread. That's what they did to Jesus, didn't they? Come on, it was the religious leaders that wanted to kill the living truth. They didn't want people to know the truth because they were under their control then. They would have lost control. So they had to eliminate him. Of course, he allowed it to happen. See, what they thought for good, what they thought they were for bad went for good, didn't it? Hallelujah. In verse 19, because what may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation or the existence of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. In other words, no man is excusable. That's all they need to do is look into the mirror. God created that. I didn't come from some amoeba or some thought. I came from the thought of God, not from something. How can something come from that hasn't been created? Nothing comes from nothing unless God brings it in. They try to prove all of the stuff. They try to prove the Big Bang Theory. The problem is everything should be rotating the same way then, but it doesn't in the universe because Big Bang is deception and a lie. What they want people to do is begin to worship creation instead of creator. And they do a very good job. That's called suppressing the truth, the living truth. And verse 21, because although they knew God, even though they knew God, they did not glorify him as God. I want you to understand that even in the beginning, they knew God. And when the fallen angels came in and put flesh on and went into women and produced offsprings and Nephilims and demons, their whole purpose was to oppress the truth. And it's still being oppressed, even though they are now running this world. And now we see half-breeds, Nephilims, running our government, being worshipped, known as gods to them. Nephilims are no longer just giants, I want you to know, because their offsprings are human-looking. And many people don't even know it. Creating human-looking individuals with no soul. None. No compassion. They've infiltrated the world. People call them aliens, but they're not aliens. They're demons. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the what? The living truth, the eternal truth. They exchanged it for a lie and worshipped and served creature or creation rather than creator who is blessed forever. You know, again, sin is truth, transgressions are truth, iniquities are truth. Amen? But they all lead to death, don't they? So there is truth that leads to life, and there's truth that leads to death. Now, there may be some things in your life that seem so real to you, but they're not truth. They seem so real. I mean, taste this. Man, this is so real. But it's not truth. Think about artificial flavorings. They taste so real, don't they? But they're not truth. See, that's what the enemy does. He counterfeits everything to taste so real. How about your feelings? How many times have you had feelings that were so real? Thoughts that were so real? Dreams that were so real, but they weren't truth. And you followed what you thought was real and found out it wasn't truth. There's a difference. And that's deception, isn't it? So there is deception in what we think is real. And there's also deception in truth that leads to death. Does everybody get it? But there's only one truth that supersedes all of it. It's living truth and it's eternal. See, that's where if you're connected with eternal truth, which is living truth, everything else you'll be able to discern against. Ah, no, that ain't cool. Nope. See, is everybody with me? Why? Because this truth is alive. It's living. It's eternal. It's forever. And when we walk in that, when we associate with that, yeah, they're having a good time in there, aren't they? Must be those goldfish I saw. Hallelujah. Somebody bit the bait. But in this is where everything supersedes. That's why if the living truth, which is eternal truth, which has breath and lives, and its breath speaks truth, and you're associated with it and in fellowship with it, you will know all things and all things to come. And you're not going to step in the enemy's trap. Because anything that seems real, you're going to compare that to truth. Man, this feels real. No, wait a minute. Man, this looks real. See, the image of the beast is going to seem real. They won't be able to discern it. People are going to take the markers. They're going to believe the reality of real to them is they're going to starve to death unless they accept the beast and deny the eternal truth. Because for them, it's so real. But it really isn't truth. Is everybody okay? John chapter 8. Whoa. Hallelujah. Glory to God. John chapter 8. Verse 31. Is everybody there? And then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, he said this, if you abide in my word, is his word truth? Okay. Is his word living?
Yeah.
Now, is truth in the spirit and spirit in the truth? So if you're abiding in his presence, are you abiding in his truth? Then you're abiding in his word. Is everybody okay? I'm going to be like, ha. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Verse 32. And you shall know the what? Wait a minute. What kind of truth is he talking about? Eternal truth. In other words, you will know. Well, who is the eternal truth? Jesus the Christ. See, we look at this as letter. When you begin to look at this as living, it's different. See, it's our responsibility to translate, interpret the Word of God according to the Spirit of God, not according to man's intellect. Man's intellect will never get this right. They'll go to concordances and try to explain this, what it means in Hebrew, what it means in this, what it means in Greek, what it means in... What does the Spirit mean by it? That's what we need to find out. And you won't know unless you've accessed the holy place and most holy place. You'll have to rely on others to tell you what's going on instead of you knowing it yourself. Does everybody get it? Okay. It says, if you abide in my word and you are my disciples indeed, and if you know the, you shall know the truth, and the truth will what? Make you free. Let me tell you, if you really know Jesus, you will be free. Why? Because you're going to follow him. He's going to tell you all things. He's going to even tell you to get free. He's going to tell you where to go to get free. He's going to tell you where provision is. He is the source, and he will send you to his resources. Has everybody got it? And when he sends you to his resources provide all the eternal truth that set people free. But if you're not going to his resources and you're going to your resources, there's no freedom. It's impossible. Hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Knowing the living truth, you'll be free. This is Jesus Christ. His eternal truth will free you from deception. Now, wait a minute. Will free you from deceptional truth of death. It will free you from deceptional truth of death. Because there is deceptive truth that's leading to death. Though it seems real, it may not be believing truth. Is everybody okay? That's why Jesus said in John 14:6, says, I am the eternal way, the eternal truth, the eternal life, and there is not a way or a life that can access eternity without eternal truth. You can't get in without eternal truth. It's eternal truth that you grab hold to, and is eternal truth that was manifested in his name of Jesus. That's why he says, no man gets to the Father except for through me. And he who follows me will be my disciple. He who abides in me will know my ways. And in my name, signs will follow you. And you will cast out devils. Why? Because they are oppressors of truth. See, you and I are to expose the oppressors of truth. We're to remove the oppressors of truth. And there are many individuals who choose to accept and fellowship, associate, and pet, and approve the oppressors of truth. And they have blood on their hands and don't even know it. We are to be workers for the truth. Amen? And 3 John chapter 1. Workers for the truth. 3 John In verse 7, for many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. In other words, that the eternal, the living truth had come into the natural realm. Oh, that's 2 John, sorry. Okay, that was good though, wasn't it? Hallelujah. We're going to go back there though in a minute. 3 John. We're going to 3 John right now, okay? All right. Verse 8, we therefore ought to receive such that we may become what? Fellow workers for the what? For the truth. Look at verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children what? Walk in what? Living truth. That's called abiding. See, so truth is alive. Truth breathes. And when truth, when breath speaks, when that breath speaks, it speaks truth. Because he's alive. Truth is life. Lives. We can't just look at it. It's just some letter. It's life. Living. Now we'll go to 2 John, because that was good. Verse 7. For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and a what? Antichrist. Let me tell you, the oppressors of truth are associated with the spirit of Antichrist. They may proclaim to be believers, but the spirit of Antichrist is ruling their life. Because the word believe means to what? Follow. And they will promote the living truth, not to try to disprove it. Has everybody got that? Verse 8, look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we worked for, but that we may receive a what? Full reward. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ, which is the living truth, does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. And if anyone comes to you and doesn't bring this doctrine, don't receive him into your house or greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. And this word greeting, it means that he who cooperates with him, he who accepts him. Amen. I get a lot of kinds of witnesses that come to my house, but they're not real witnesses. They're witnesses of deception. So when I confront them with the living word, they usually run. You know, I just start praying in the Holy Ghost, man. You see, the only thing you see is the back of their feet. Let me pray for you. Bukararashi. They're gone. Okay. Bless you. But I usually stick something in their hand before they leave. The living truth sanctifies us and purifies us when we obey it. Let me share that again. The living truth sanctifies us and purifies us when we obey him. Amen. You and I were brought in by the living truth. We were brought into the kingdom. We were brought into a new life. You know, many people want to, they want all kinds of things in their life, but they're not asking for a new life. Unless you want a new life, and I'm telling you, you want a new life every day. What life do you want? More of the living truth life every day. So you go to training, you report for duty. Amen. You get into the most holy place. Other than that, you get goofy. You be up and down like a roller coaster. You'll take everything that anyone says. You'll take those thoughts because they're so real. You'll take that feeling because it's so real. Oh, my God. I'm bound by real. And then you get reeled in. Amen? Because many people bite the bait of real, but it isn't truth because it seems so real. But if you're not associating with the eternal living truth and filled with truth, the connection isn't there so that you can walk on truth, the reality. You walk on real. Real doesn't rule you. You walk on everything. Just like I'm telling you, the example of Jesus walking on water is the example for me and you and how we should walk on everything in this realm. We walk on it. There's deception. Doesn't it say we put the devil under our feet? Amen. Well, that means we're walking on it. We're to walk on deception, or we're to walk on lust, or to walk on self, or to walk on all the things that the world is telling us and the environments in the world. We're to walk on all the lies and the deceptions that it comes through for technology. You're walking on it. It's not controlling you. You have dominion over it because you're associated with all the eternal living truth that has supersedes any other kind of truth or what seems to be real. That's where he wants us today. That's where we need to be today because many are going to fall away to deception, false imagery. You know, people don't realize that even satellites can portray something on a wall. people are going to go worship it. I've had, look at, I don't know how, if any of you remember, but years ago, everybody was flocking to Tampa in this building, and they were seeing Mary on the wall. People were going and worshiping. I was trying to tell believers, what are you doing? Oh, dummy. You know what? No reality, no connection with the living truth, not getting into the Holy of Holies, not being really filled. They're still outer quarters trying to discern what is truth and what isn't. They can't. They're going by what they feel is real. It's real. They were going down to Tampa and worshiping this picture on the wall. It was on the side of a building. It was the reflection, was a reflection of Mary, who's dead and isn't coming back, except for like me and you when we come back. Hello? And they're out there putting roses at this building and all. And I'm telling you, there were believers that were flocking to it. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, if it's this easy now, when deception increases, how much is it easier for them to flock to the image of the beast that's going to become so real to them, it'll become alive to them, and they will follow it. I got a lot of stuff to go over, and I'm not going to go over it all. So I'm going to close at 2 Thessalonians. The word tells us that many will turn from the truth with itching ears. We're seeing it now. Listen, people filled with demons can get free. Bisexuals, homosexuals, lesbians, those are demon individuals. It's just a place where a host, an addict, is the same thing. A murderer, everything to that degree that is unrighteousness, is nothing but a demon in that person that's ruling their life. So we don't associate with the demons. We try to rescue the people. We tell them the truth so they can come out of it. But now you've got flocks of demons, hosts, where the pastor's one too. Now they're all promoting, oh, God loves us. Yes, he does, but he doesn't love the demons in you. So they're going by God's love, but they ain't talking about God's judgment at all. They just ignore those pages. Because where love is, there's judgment. Where there's righteousness, there's unrighteousness. What's clean is unclean. Where there's pure is unpure. Where there's truth, there's deception. And where there's life, there's death. Amen? So we're seeing it all over. People have already turned to the itching ears. I hear many people, yeah, I've got friends that are homosexual and lesbian. Okay, have you shared with them? Oh, no, I wouldn't want to offend them. Well, then you're promoting them. And you're going to allow them to go to hell. And blood will be on your hands. But they're my friends. I don't want to hurt them. Really? Would you rather just put them out in front of a bus and just step back and say, come on, hit them? That's what you're doing. You're condemning them to death because you're not willing to tell them the truth. We're there now. It's happening. It's all over. People are still living their lives instead of the life of Christ. They live according to what they believe is real, not according to eternal truth. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we'll close here. Hallelujah. Everybody okay? Are you getting this? Living truth is alive. I love it. 2 Thessalonians, verse 9, chapter 2. Verse 9, what does it say? The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of what? Satan. With all power and signs and lying what? Wonders. Does everybody get this? Come on, look at this. The working of Satan will be deceptive power, lying, signs, wonders. But if you're not connected to eternal truth, filled with the Spirit, you won't be able to overcome it. Verse 10, and with all what? Unrighteousness, deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the living truth, the eternal truth, the love of God, that they might be what? That they might be saved or rescued. For this reason, God will send them what? Listen, let me tell you, if you're caught in this condition, God will step back and he'll allow that deception and delusion to overtake you, that they should believe in a lie, that they all may be what? Condemned, who did not believe the truth or follow the living truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the what? To follow the, be connected to eternal truth, the living truth that supersedes all truth. In verse 14, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. And now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us eternal consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work in all eternal living truth. Where do we stand today? Search it out. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Let your living truth so grab hold of us, grab hold of our hearts and our minds and our wills, that we'd be willing to surrender them all to live according to your truth, that we may have fellowship in your truth, and that we may have fellowship with one another in truth, so that everything else is under our feet. And we promise, Papa, to give you all the glory and honor and praise for your word today. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen?